Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in that place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to Mary, "Mary." She turned and toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Amen. I've been going to church a long time. I've had many different Sunday mornings in worship. And yet, as I try to remember back to particular Sunday mornings, the ones I remember most fondly, and the ones really I can only identify as a day, are Easter Sunday mornings. I don't have too many memories of Baptism of the Lord Sunday. I don't have too many memories of the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. But I can remember Easter Sunday mornings. When I was really little, my mom and I would go to the sunrise service at my church, and I had a little bit of a different view about church then. I kind of thought of it as a check mark, go to church, be done for the rest of the day. I'm so glad that many of you who went to the sunrise service came back for this service as well, but I had a slightly different attitude, and I was like, once and done, and out. And I was very happy that I could get up so early to go to church and then see my brothers have to suffer going to church later. Not that church is suffering, but I had a different point of view back then. After the sunrise service, we would meet with my mom's friend and my best friend, and we'd have chocolate chip muffins at Dunkin' Donuts, and I just have fond memories of Easter Sunday morning. I imagine that many of you have fond memories as well. Maybe people all dressed up to the nines in their pretty dresses and their hats and their gloves. Maybe you can remember times when the whole sanctuary was packed and you had to bring chairs into the sanctuary. Maybe you can just remember special times with your loved ones that maybe have passed on, of good meals and good worship services and maybe special desserts and special dishes. And I imagine that if you're like me, you have many fond memories of Easter Sunday morning, and we've come to church with a little extra spring in our step, a little bit of excitement that, well, every Sunday is a day of the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sunday on Easter Sunday is like that par excellence. It's every Sunday is the most holy Sunday and most important day, but we celebrate it a little bit differently on Easter Sunday. When you read the scripture, though, it's a little bit different. We come on Easter morning excited, full of energy. We can't wait. But I imagine for Mary Magdalene, and possibly the other women, because she did say we, though we're not really sure who else may have been there, that they didn't have that excitement. They didn't have that spring in their step. It was the first work day. We have off, most of us, on Sundays, but they did not. It was the first work day of the week. And not only that, but the work they were going to do was not pleasant work. They were coming to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial, which, after 3 days in a tomb, is probably not necessarily the most joyous occasion. And doing it for a loved one is even worse. And while we come with excitement and joy and enthusiasm, she was probably sad, mourning, concerned, and then frustrated when she couldn't find the body, and then she started to weep. And it wasn't until a little bit later that surprise and excitement came into her experience. And when Peter came to find out what happened to Jesus' body, he was puzzled. What happened? And he, at least according to the Gospel of John, really didn't have a strong sense of it. And then the beloved disciple, who we often think is John, though we don't know for certain, but probably was John, the text tells us that he had a religious experience that he started to believe. But then, the very next verse, it says, well, they still didn't understand what had to happen. And there's a strong contrast between our response on Easter Sunday morning and their response. They saw the empty tomb and they were confused and sad. We see the empty tomb and we are excited and we are enthused. When I read this lesson and when I try to understand what it means, I think one of the big issues is how do we respond to the empty tomb? And then how do we respond to the resurrected Christ? One thing that always strikes me when I read this passage is Mary's response. Once she sees the empty tomb, she's sad. And she's looking for Jesus' body. And she runs into the person she thinks is the gardener. And when she realizes that that person is Jesus, she wants to hold on to Jesus. And she doesn't want to let go. But Jesus tells her, Go tell my brothers, and I think we could include sisters in there, though it does say brothers, and tell them that you're my brother, and God is your father, and that you are now, because of what's happened here on Easter morning, part of God's family. And that gets me to the point of my sermon today, that we respond to the empty tomb by sharing the good news. And for us as a church, I think we have several different responses. Maybe for some of you this morning, maybe you don't know how to respond. Maybe you're not really sure if Jesus was resurrected. You might be like Peter and puzzled. And yet, for us, the good news and what we need to share to you is that Jesus is risen from the dead. And that because of that, we can become part of God's family. For others of you, you might respond to the empty tomb by saying you just want to hold on to Jesus. You just want to cherish that relationship with Jesus. You just want to hold on to the Master and not let go. You want to be like Mary and her response to Jesus. But again, we respond to the empty tomb by sharing the good news. Mary wanted to hold on, but Jesus said, no, go share the good news with my followers. And I think for us, as a church, as much as we enjoy this Easter Sunday morning, as much as we want to hold on to this moment and to this experience, we have to be like Mary and not only hold on to it, but then go out and share the good news. That we respond to the empty tomb by sharing the good news. The good news that we've been incorporated into God's family. That Jesus is our brother, God is our Father, and that we now have eternal life, which, as our opening hymn said, starts now because we believe and goes on into eternity. We as a church have an obligation to go out and share this good news in our words and in our deeds, to live as a resurrected people that believe that Jesus was resurrected from the tomb, and have a mission and a purpose to share the good news that we are now all part of God's family if we believe in Jesus. That we have been freed from the bondage of sin and death. That because Jesus triumphed in the grave over sin and death, that we have been freed from those forces. And that we can't hold on to it for ourselves. We can't just simply come here on Sunday morning and celebrate it. That we need to go out and share that good news to a world that desperately needs to hear it. There's a world full of sin and death. There are places where maybe people aren't at empty tombs, but they have empty holes in their lives. Maybe confusion, maybe sadness, maybe mourning, maybe looking for purpose. And our good news is that they are part of God's family if they want to be. That they can be part of God's family, that they can be Jesus' brother, and God can be their father, and that they can have eternal life, and that their life can be made full in them. As a church, we may want to hold on. We might want to just relish this Sunday morning celebration. But we can't. We can't be like that. We need to be, as Jesus told Mary, to go out and to share the good news. As Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Let us respond this Sunday morning to the empty tomb by sharing the good news. Amen.